Lifestyle Matters. It's More Than Money. I'm Faisal Carmelli and filling in for Dave Popwich. I've got Leanna Wojcik. Leanna, welcome.
Nice to be here again, Faisal.
Thank you for filling in for the other guy. This is going to be a great show. We've got some key topics. Mm-hmm. One is economics, but I think the big one is the political issues that are going to come up during the next elections here in Canada and the United States. We're going to address some of the key economic issues and what they're going to look like and what people need to kind of think about as we head into these two elections coming up.
And what's probably the most emotional flashpoint for people when it comes to elections and what we talk about when it comes to those things. And then the other thing that we'll talk about today, which is more of a fun topic here, where can you retire somewhere warm, sunny, maybe overseas, for less than $150,000?
This is crazy because we've been hearing a lot about how expensive real estate is around the world, and there's some great finds for under $150,000. I like that idea. You know, we've got some great economic data came in this week. GDP numbers in the United States look pretty good. Canada, pretty flat. Mm-hmm. And the difference between the two are quite staggering. In fact, over 2%, close to 2.5% in the United States on the last quarter, 1% in Canada. Mm-hmm. And when we start looking at the economic numbers, Leanna, on Canada, June is shaping up to be a contraction.
Potentially, yes.
A contraction. Yeah. So this is interesting. We, you know, you start when we compare the two countries, even you look at interest rates of both went up. Canada went up. U.S. just increased theirs. Europe increased theirs. So when you look at the two countries, where's your confidence level between the economics over the next, call it a couple years or so, 5 years out? Where do you think the opportunity is? Is it in Canada or is it the United States?
So from a strictly business perspective, we're looking at more strength in the economy, quote unquote, judging by just GDP numbers in the U.S. So that would be sort of the default answer to that question. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about this, or maybe give your opinion on, is do we think that that contraction in the Canadian economy, potential contraction that we're possibly looking at for June, is that the start of the R word, the recession?
The recession. Yeah, it's possible. I think there is a possibility. Now let's kind of nail it down on really what matters. There's the economic technical term of recession, which is two negative GDP quarters in a row. That's the official technical term. But if you ask any economist, or you just live through life as a positive 1% GDP or a negative 1% GDP, you don't feel a big difference there. So the feeling of the economic changes, I think, in this country are going to be pretty much flat. Now, province to province will be different, but generally across the country, you're not going to see great robust growth. Of course, I think Alberta, based on the data, looks better than other provinces, but that doesn't mean Canada as a whole is going to do better. And so when you're looking at your portfolio, and we do have a Canadian bias for many of the portfolios that we see people wanting second opinions, have a strong Canadian bias, is that the right opportunity for you when you've got 98% of the world out there in population that can contribute to the growth in their economies and their companies that they're supporting and so forth? I think there's opportunity elsewhere, and I think that's going to be a very interesting move going forward. Sure, there's value in certain companies in Canada, but I think when you look from a global perspective, it's going to be a bit of an issue.
Well, and that's an interesting point. I mean, we live in Canada, we work in Canada, we're also tied to the Canadian economy and what's happening, our jobs, our homes, everything is tied to the Canadian economy. One of the parts of portfolio diversification is the ability to look, that's the easiest thing where you can look outside of your own geographic region for places that maybe aren't experiencing the same economic conditions that you are. Maybe there's more opportunity in a different part of the world, a different country. That's not saying the Canadian economy is bad. That's not saying Canadian companies are bad. But if on a strict economic basis, if you look at the U.S.'s latest economic numbers versus Canada, they're in a stronger position.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at also chief investment officers around the world, we're fortunate enough in our business to have access and communication with some of the smartest people around the world. And we start asking them, how are you building your portfolio? Like, what's the asset allocation? And they tell you their percentage of the stocks versus bonds and alternatives and stuff like that. Then you start breaking down, where's the geographical location? When we speak to our contacts in Europe, in Asia, and we look at their asset allocation, rarely do we ever see Canada. And when we bring it up and say, well, what about Canada? They ask us the question, well, what about Canada? Either they have no data, which I don't believe, or they don't see the value in Canadian companies when they look at it from a global perspective. The U.S., generally speaking, with the context that we have out there, the weighting that they put in Canadian stocks is under 5%. They treat it similar to an emerging market as a percentage of their overall portfolio. But when you speak to Canadian chief investment officers, it's 15, 20, 30, 50% of the portfolio. Part of it is from a tax perspective, but also when you look at it, you're saying, well, why is there so much home-based bias? Like that much, where you're four times more than your counterparts just south of the border, or it's not even existing in international portfolios. If you look at pension plans, very small, and I'm speaking of Canadian pension plans.
I was going to say the CPP, as an example, has a very, very small percentage in Canada, in Canadian stocks, which is surprising, I think, to most Canadians when they think about that. But it's very interesting to see that for people who manage money on a global perspective, they can go anywhere. For retirees, this is what they're worried about. And they have such a small percentage in Canada. And the difference between that and the average Canadian's portfolio is stark. And it's because of that home-based bias in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and I think when you mention pension plans, domestic ones, like the Canadian pension plan, and you look at their portfolio, and if you get a chance, go on your favorite search engine and look this stuff up. Look at the Ontario Municipality Pension Plan, better known as OMERS. Look at the Canadian pension plan. You want to go down south of the border, go to California. So CalPERS is their pension plan, State of Illinois' pension plan, or any other major pension plan out there in North America. The Canadian exposure is so small, almost a rounding error. Like they picked a couple of companies they like and that's it. But everything else is outside of Canada. And when we look at the economic numbers and we look at how Canadians treat their own portfolios, their own future pension, why are they not giving the same respect? You know, I'm curious about that.
I think it's just simply a lack of knowledge of options in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think even our industry of it, there's a bunch of advisors and portfolio managers who are not comfortable stepping outside of the Canadian border to see what else is out there. And I think we've got a great show to talk about, not just the economics in Canada, but also the opportunities of retirement on both sides of the border and around the world. I think I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the top places to buy a property for $150,000 or less. Would you buy a place outside of Canada for retirement?
Potentially. It's an option, but the question is, how much time are you going to spend there, or do you want to travel?
That's what I keep on saying. Like I keep on debating this. Like, should I buy a place? And if I do, then I kind of feel like I have to go there all the time. Now, could I rent it out and so forth? That's something we can discuss on there. But I think this is going to be an interesting conversation to have. And, of course, the elections coming up on both sides of the border over the next few years is going to be hot topics of equality or inequality, economically speaking. And, of course, we're going to discuss all of these options, all these ideas, at our upcoming seminar. When is that?
Well, our next seminar is Tuesday, August 15th, 7 p.m., live in person at the Carriage House Inn. Now, you do need to register, so please go to morethanmoneyradio.com to do that. We usually have spirited debates at those seminars, particularly during the question period. So if you have your questions, please bring them. We'd be happy to chat about that.
Okay, this is going to be the topic that's going to have the biggest issue heading into the next election. Do you know what it is? Is it going to be about interest rates, inflation, national debt, or another topic that I think is going to be coming up? Join us after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.